When you think about this topic, when you think about the topic of being thankful, how important of a topic is this? For us to learn to be thankful. Do you know any people that you would describe as not so thankful? Who are perhaps ungrateful people? Do you have any people that you are surrounded by that are perhaps ungrateful? That they just seem to be upset all the time, have nothing to be thankful for in their lives? Let turn to Luke chapter 17, because we're gonna start here, and hopefully this story is being looked at in all of the classes tonight. But Luke chapter 17 is an account on a day in the life of Jesus that we need to have a better appreciation for, so that hopefully we can be more thankful as God's people. Luke chapter 17, we're going to start in verse 11. Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem. By the way, thank you all for getting your Bibles. That was very encouraging. When I said, "Look, turn to Luke 17," and all of you did, that was pretty cool. Now it happened as Jesus went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Why was that unusual for a Jew to go through Samaria? They didn't like him. And if you don't like people, what do you usually do?
Avoid them.
Avoid them. Duh. I mean, we don't like these people. We're going to stay away from them. Not Jesus. When he traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem and back and forth, Samaria was in the middle, but the other Jews, they would go around. Jesus went right through it. Then as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men. What was unusual about these men? Lepers. Lost control, and then you should have it coming up. Lepers. What's wrong with people that are lepers? They have a disease. A contagious. So it's not just any disease. Is it like cancer? Okay. Could be like skin cancer in that it affects the outward appearance. Is cancer contagious?
No.
Is cancer something that we put people in isolation to keep them away so that... I know Phil's going to correct me after this and say, well, there is such and such a cancer that... So I'll put a disclaimer on this that says I don't have a clue about medicine. But here's a disease... Why did they put him in isolation? Because you can catch it. Here was a disease that, did the Jews in the Old Testament, did they even have laws about how to deal with lepers?
Yes.
If you were cleansed, if that were even possible for you to be cleansed of your leprosy, what did you have to do then? You'd have to go to the priest. In the Old Testament, and we're going to see that in this story, in the Old Testament, the priest not only functioned in a religious capacity, he also functioned in a medicinal capacity in a lot of ways. They were the ones, think about being a priest, you know, not only were you trying to help people with their soul, you're trying to help people with their diseases too. So they were the ones who would diagnose, you know, these diseases. Do I really have leprosy or not? And then diagnose, am I really free and clear of it? So anyway, here are these 10 men. Do we have this up here? 10 men, they met Jesus in verse 12. He entered a certain village. 10 men who were lepers stood afar off. Why does the Bible tell us that they stood afar off? You're not allowed to come near. We don't see it in this story. But do you know another story where Jesus healed a leper? This time it's 10. Do you know another story where Jesus healed a leper? And he touched him. Not supposed to do that. That's against the rules because you might catch it. Can you imagine what it would have been like to have been a leper? How isolated, ostracized, how just you're cut off from society. You're cut off from your loved ones. You're cut off from your friends. You're cut off from your family. and you can't have interaction and contact with anybody. If you're a leper, when's the last time you had a hug? If you're a leper, when's the last time somebody extended their hand to shake your hand? If you're a leper, you're nothing, and you're less than nothing. We don't want anything to do with you. Eva?
You're unclean.
You're unclean. You're unclean. Jesus sees these men. Verse 13. They lifted up their voices and they said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Here's 10 lepers. They come and find Jesus. They stand a distance away from him. And so if they're at a distance, they have to lift up their voices. From a distance, they have to holler and yell, hey, Jesus, hello, hey, look at us. Have mercy on us. What are they asking? Will you please do something about this? Verse 14. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. Again, the priests were to diagnose whether they were clean or not. But when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, were they clean when he said those words?
No,
they still had it. But as they were on their way, going to the priests, does that show some kind of faith? Some kind of obedience that when Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest, that they didn't just stand there and say, huh? Are you sure? Don't you want to do something first and then we'll go? Jesus said, go show yourself to the priests. So it was as they went, as they were going, they were cleansed. How many of these men were cleansed of their leprosy? Every last one of them. Every last one of them stood afar off. Every last one of them said, Jesus, have mercy on us. Every last one of them went to go to see the priest, and every last one of them was cleansed. So we've got 10, 10, 10 all the way through until we get to verse 15. You get to verse 15 and it says, and not 10, one of them. When he saw that he was healed. I want you to put your shoes in any one of these 10, in any one of these 10 men's shoes. Put your feet there. You're going to the priest, and as you're making your way to the priest, all of a sudden you realize, huh, something's a little bit different here. My lip's not falling off anymore. My what?
My acne's gone.
My nose, my nose is there. All of a sudden, that which had separated them, that which had put them in isolation, is gone. You think maybe there were some scars left? You think maybe there was a little bit of evidence they still had it? You know any lepers in the Old Testament who were cleansed? Any leaders of armies like for Syria named Naaman? Well, go dip in the Jordan River 7 times. What'd Naaman say? You want me to do what? We got the far part back home. That's better than the Jordan. I don't want to dip in that. Well, suppose he'd asked you to do something great. You would have done it. Yeah, that's true. I would have done something great. So he goes and he dips 7 times. When he comes up the 7th time, how much leprosy does he have?
None.
How does that work? How does the Jordan River 7 times cleanse you? How does walking to a priest cleanse you? Faith in God and obedience. And when he was cleansed, it was not that he said, you know, I think it's looking better. It is. It's gone. 10 men are cleansed, but there's one of them who says, whoa, something's different. And there's only one who turns back. There's only one of these men in verse 15 who sees that he's cleansed, and one of these men turns back. And so one of them with a loud voice glorified God. It's in the present tense, meaning he kept on and he kept on and he kept on glorifying God. Wouldn't you? If you had just been cleansed of this disease of leprosy and you just realized that you'd been cleansed and you returned to Jesus, would you just say, oh, I appreciate it. I'll send you a thank you card in the mail. Thanks a lot. What would you do? Here he is continually down on the ground, glorifying God for what had happened. Verse 16, fell down on his face. Look at the posture. Giving thanks, present tense again, continually giving thanks to Jesus. But only one of them is doing this. And he, the end of verse, what is that? The end of verse 16. And he was a Samaritan. If the Jews didn't like the Samaritans and called them the dogs and the unclean and didn't want to have anything to do with them, how do you think the Samaritans felt about that? Think they enjoyed that? Think they appreciated being demeaned and overlooked? But here's this one Samaritan falls down at Jesus' feet. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. But here's what we want to see. Verse 17, Jesus asks two questions. Jesus says, weren't there 10 of these guys? It seems like there were 10 who were saying, Lord, hey, look at us. Have mercy on us. And now there's only one over here who's saying thank you. Weren't there 10? Where are the 9? What did this one man learn? What did this one man exhibit that these other 9 did not? Thankfulness. Why didn't the other 9 do it? I mean, they should have done it of their own volition. But when they saw the other one turn back and go, why didn't they say, oh, hey, look, let's go. I forgot. I didn't even think about it. But have you ever done that? You know, somebody says thank you to somebody. And thank you. And you say thank you. But, you know, you didn't think of it first. But that's all right. You said it. Maybe you didn't think of it first, but you followed through. Why didn't somebody else do that? Why did only one person say thank you?
Faith.
Okay, he's got faith. What's wrong with these other 9? Why do they not do anything? Put it today. Let's say this happened today. And let's say that 10 were cleansed of their leprosy and only one returned to Jesus and the other 9 didn't. Why do you think 9 people today would not say thank you to the Lord?
They took it for granted.
Took it for granted. That's what he's supposed to do, right? I mean, Jesus, he's been healing all these people. That's what you're supposed to do. I mean, if you've got this ability, that's your job. You know, is that our mentality towards some people? You know, they work at McDonald's and they hand you the bag out the window and you drive off. Well, that's their job. That's just what they're supposed to do. Or do we say thank you? You know, people look at you funny today when you say thank you, don't they? They're like, you're welcome. Is there something else you want? Something wrong? What's something wrong with you? Are you on your way to see a psychiatrist or something? I mean, when we say thank you, they don't get it. Why else? Here's 9 people today who wouldn't say thank you. Why do you think they wouldn't go?
Oh, excuse me. They probably never was taught.
Okay, never taught to say thank you. Is that possible? Are we teaching our kids to say thank you today? I know probably these kids up here are. Please and thank you and you're welcome. Seems that some kids aren't learning those lessons as well. Here's 9 men who didn't say. Does God tell us anything about giving thanks? Does he give us any suggestions, any desires, any requests for giving of thanks? Here's 4. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Comes down and says, when the peace, and there's twice in this same chapter he does this, when the peace of God's ruling in your hearts, you're called to one body, and he says, when you are called to this one body and the peace of God's ruling, you need to be thankful. We'll come back and talk more about the peace of God in a minute. Colossians 3:17. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks. When are you supposed to give thanks?
Always.
Always. Whatever you do, whatever you say, we need to be people who are always in a spirit and in an attitude and a willingness to give thanks. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Sometimes our prayers are only filled with prayers, supplications, give me, I need, please supply, and there's not a whole lot of return in thanksgiving. How often do you pray to God and ask Him for something, and when you see that prayer is answered, you turn right around and you thank God for that? 100%? You think we're anywhere near 100% thanking Him for the ways that He answers the things we've asked Him for?
No.
We're not even close. Michael? A sense of entitlement today? Yeah. Has there been a generation raised who has a sense of entitlement that this is I've got it coming? This is what I'm supposed to have, Dirk. Yeah, he answers our prayer sometimes, and even when we're not looking for it. God continually blesses us, but I think there is this sense of entitlement that, well, you know, that's just what God's supposed to do. God's supposed to forgive me of my sins. God's supposed to supply me with my daily bread. God is supposed to, you know, to take care of my family. God is supposed, and so it's just maybe taken for granted. How often do we turn to God and we give thanks to God for what He has given to us? In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 18, in everything. Now that's a big word. I'm not talking about it having 10 letters in it. That's just a big word. We're supposed to give thanks in everything. You know, we can give thanks about a lot of things, can't we? But everything? I mean, that's pushing. Do you give thanks for those people in your family that, you know, when you see the taillights leaving, it's happier than when you see the headlights coming? I mean, do you give thanks for them? I'm not saying do you give thanks when you see the taillights. Maybe I didn't word that good. Do you give thanks for them even before you see the taillights? In everything, give thanks. You know, there's some people in our workplace. There's some bosses. There are some employees. There are some situations. There is the losing of a job. There's losing of an income. There is the losing of a spouse. There is a losing of a child. You go down the list of all the horrible things that can happen to us, and God says, in everything, give thanks. How do you do that? I mean, you got to twist your head in a funny way to be able to see that and to do that. How do we get to the point where in everything we're going to give thanks to God? Trudy?
Praying for the bad times in your life as well as the good.
Yep. You got to make sure that you are praying in the good times and in the bad times. I'm going to trip on my cord here. Here's what I want to do. I want you to give me some. We're going to look at some reasons. I've got a list on the next slide, but I left this one blank. I want you to give me some reasons that God has given to us for us to be thankful. What reasons has God given to us for us to be thankful? And I'm going to type them here, and hopefully they're going to appear on the screen before you. Why are we supposed to be thankful? According to what God tells us, why should we be thankful? Dirk? Say again. Should we be thankful because God is mindful of us? This thing is a little slow on the pickup here. He is mindful of us. Is that a good reason to be thankful? Give me another reason, Mary. What's mercy? We talked about grace a little bit ago, that grace is unmerited favor, not getting or getting something you don't deserve. What's mercy? It's forgiveness. Not getting what we do deserve, right? Eva? Okay. Why should we be thankful? He first loved us. Say it again, Mike. Okay. He protects us. He gives us everything. Why else should I be thankful that mercy triumphs over judgment? Should we be thankful for that? How much do we deserve the judgment of God? Quite a bit. How much do we receive the mercy of God? I'm going to change this so you can see it. I had to start a new slide for Dirk. All right, you got anything else put on the list?
Church.
Say again?
Church.
The church. What else? Why should we be thankful to God? What else? Say that again? Did you have your hand up, Sherrick? Okay. She took your answer, huh? What do you got, Eva? Okay. We could go on and on and on, couldn't we? Listing reasons why we should be thankful. And not just any old reasons, but these are reasons that God has given to us. How about this one? God's told us to be thankful so that we don't forget Him. Look in Romans chapter 1. Look at what these folks did. We know some of what they did, how they... you get down in verse 25 and it talks about how they started worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. That they had totally changed the focus of their lives. But what's interesting is what's mentioned here. One of the things that's mentioned here in Romans chapter 1 about these folks. Learn verse 21. Because although they knew God, Romans 1:21, although they knew God, they did not glorify Him as God. Here's God, they know God, but there were folks in that day, you think there's still folks today, who know God, but they don't glorify Him as God. What would be something that we, according to this verse, what would be something that we would do in order to glorify God? Nor were they thankful. They knew God, but were they thankful to God? They knew God, but did they glorify God for what He had done for them? No, they became futile in their thoughts. Their foolish hearts were darkened. Why does God tell us to be thankful? One reason is so that we'll remember Him. Trudy? So that we will appreciate His goodness and His kindness. It's the next point, Trudy. So that we'll remember what He's given to us. How much has God given to us?
Everything.
James chapter 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift has come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. How many of the things that we have has God given to us? How many of the things that we have we earned? That's where we go most of the time. I've got a job. I earned the money. I bought this with my money. It belongs to me. Jesus said to that man who said that in Luke chapter 12, "Thou fool, tonight your soul will be required of you." Is this stuff ours? Let's see. Job said it, and then Paul said it to Timothy. Job said, "Naked I came into the world, and then what's going to happen when I die? Naked I shall return." What'd you bring in this world? We all came in this world the same way, right? We weren't looking pretty, but we didn't bring anything with us. When we leave, what are we taking with us? Same thing we brought. Same thing you brought in the world is what you're taking out. What did Paul say to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6? "For we know that we've brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out." So what I have now, it's not mine. What about this body? Is this body mine? Surely it's mine because it's not yours. You can't have it. I know how much you want it, but you can't have it. Right? Because it's mine. I mean, maybe if you're nice, I'll give you an organ or two. But, I'm going to keep this body. So it belongs to me, right? Nobody else can have it. No. We've been bought at a price. Does this belong? Not even our own bodies belong to us. God wants us to be thankful. You know He wants you to be thankful for your body? We're not so thankful for those for our bodies sometimes, are we? Like, you know, I could probably use a different body right about now. You know, one that doesn't hurt so much. God told us to be thankful so that we'll remember Him and not forget Him. God told us to be thankful so that we remember that He's given us everything. God's told us to be thankful, I think, so that we can keep our problems in perspective. Do our problems sometimes surmount to take control of our lives? And we have a hard time with the balancing act. And this is on the next slide too, and we'll get to it. Do we have sometimes a problem between balancing our problems with what should be on the other side? Here I've got all of my problems. What should be on the other side of this balancing act? All of our blessings. What do we focus on more? You know, and sometimes we would say of necessity, I focus on my problems more because they're staring me in the face. You know, if I don't focus on paying the bills, then somebody's going to come after me. And if I don't focus on, you know, balancing the checkbook and making sure that, you know, this isn't overdue, then they're going to take the car. They're going to take the house. They're going to take the whatever, the lawnmower. You know, and so I've got to focus in. And so sometimes we say of necessity, I've got to focus in on my problems so that things don't get even worse. Okay. Are we responsible for making sure that we are financially sound, that we are good stewards of the things God has given to us? But is it possible that we can get totally out of balance?
Yes.
And totally forget where we need to be in life? You know, sometimes we sing the song, Count Your Blessings. You ever tried it? If you were to count your blessings and name them one by one, I would suspect that we are probably better at counting our problems, naming them one by one, right? Because has anybody ever done that with you? Counted their problems to you? Named them one by one and you're like, okay, here, I'm going to send you a bill for the, you know, for this counseling. So, you know, they list all that's going wrong in their life. When was the last time we listed all that's going right in our life? When was the last time, instead of listing all the bad things that have happened to me today, hey, how about all the good things that have happened to me today? Maybe the list is smaller, only because we can't think of everything. Only because, you know, when we want to think of the good things that have happened to me, we look for the mountain instead of looking at those things that we overlook trying to find the mountain. God's given us reasons for us to be thankful. Look in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 begins in verse 1 by saying, be imitators of God as dear children. And then verse 2 says, walk in love as Christ also loved us. He gave himself for us as an offering, a sacrifice to God, a sweet smelling aroma. Then look in verse 3, Ephesians 5 verse 3. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness. How bad are these things? Fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Do these often make God's list of sins? If you look in other places, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, Colossians chapter 3, I mean, we go and we find these in God's list in a lot of places. Fornication, uncleanness, and covetousness. Let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. You know, these things don't fit us. As a child of God, fornication, uncleanness, covetousness. Go into verse 4. Filthiness, foolish talking, coarse jesting. As a Christian, these don't fit. You know, it's like clothes that don't fit. They're way too big, they're way too small, and you look silly either way. Whether you're wearing something way too big or way too small, people are thinking you need to go and change. As a Christian, these things don't fit. And people look at us and they say, huh, you're a Christian? I think you need to go change. God says these, but here's where I want to get. These things are not fitting. They're not fitting in verse 3. They're not fitting for the saints. They're not fitting in verse 4. Don't give yourself to these things, but rather, the end of verse 4, giving of thanks. Does that seem out of place? You know, here he is, all of these lists of sins. Don't give yourselves over to these things. Don't even let it be named among you. Don't even let somebody point a finger and say, you know, maybe he's this or maybe he's... Just get away from it. But rather, you know, you would think he would say, but rather, don't be conformed to this world. Or you would think he would say, but rather, be transformed. Or but rather, be holy in your, you know, but rather, he turns totally away from these sins and says, what do we need to do instead? Give thanks. What can giving thanks help us to do? Remember God, remember what he's done for us and all that he's given to us. It can help us not to sin. If we were ones who would give ourselves more to counting our blessings and counting the good things rather than counting our problems, if we counted our blessings more often, you think we'd sin less often? If you're more grateful to God, if you have an attitude of gratitude towards God, are you going to be more inclined to do those things that are fitting or those things that are not fitting? You know, thanksgiving is powerful. It can have a powerful influence on how we live and how we act. And in Philippians chapter 4, it can give us the peace of God that we can't even comprehend or fully understand. But if by be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God, and the peace of God that surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts. So along with, I don't remember, what did we have, about 12 or 15 things that you mentioned, these will be on the website tomorrow, so you can see all the things that you listed as reasons we need to give. Here are some additional reasons. You put all of these in a list of, here are reasons that I need to be thankful to God, and I'd say that all of us need to start being a little bit more thankful. Maybe too many of us are like the nine, who are like, oh, cool, I'm cleansed. Okay, I'll go to the priest, I'll get the religious approval that I can be back among society, and you know, I'll go serve God, I'll do some good things for him. All the while, there's only one of them who ever went back. Only one of them who ever went back and said thank you to the one who had cleansed him. All right, here's the next question. What does God do? What does God show us? What does he tell us? How can we learn? We've talked about reasons we need to be more thankful. How can we learn to be more thankful? What do we need to do? How can we learn to be more thankful? What do you got? I'm going to start typing. Pray. How can we learn to be more thankful? Study the Bible. Is that what you said, Joan? Okay, everybody's saying that. Good answer, Joan. What else we got? How can I learn? Eva?
Thank God for waking me up this morning. Just come out of bed.
All right. Whoops. I'll spell that right. Hang on a second. Loretta?
Obeying.
Obeying
God.
How can I learn? When I leave here tonight, how can I learn to be more thankful? You know, Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 that he had to learn to be content. It's a process. He had to learn how to be more content. I think being thankful is something we've got to learn to put into practice. When I leave here tonight, what can I do to learn to be more thankful? How many N's are on perception? See, this is like 5 seconds behind my typing, so I can't know what's up there. You all see it before I do. Surround yourself with thankful, self with thankful people. Self, that's nice. What else? Oh, sorry, I clicked in the wrong place. That's going to mess me up. What else? How can I learn to be more thankful?
Serve
others. How can I learn to be more thankful? Meditate daily. Let me see if I can get this right here. I got to start a new list. Where am I? Ah, that's the wrong list. Y'all seeing this? Mediate. Well, mediating would be good too. But let's try meditating first. What can I do to, Trudy, what can we do to be more, learn to be more thankful? What can I do to learn to be more thankful? Sherrick? Say again. Okay. Jackie, did you say something? Okay. Not taking him for granted. Loretta, did you have your hand up? All right. Let's take a minute. Let me add a couple things to this, and then we're going to go get some cookies. Does that sound all right? All right. We've talked about this. We've got to learn that balancing act between looking at our blessings and looking at our troubles. And I had a hard time choosing one verse to put with this one. So I just put my favorite verse in the Bible. I figured that works. Isaiah 41 and verse 10. If we'll learn this verse, I think we'll be able to learn how to improve our balance between blessings and troubles and blessings and problems. Fear not, God says, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed. What does the word dismayed mean?
Discouraged.
Be not dismayed, be not discouraged, for I am thy God. Why don't we need to be discouraged? Because I've got God as my God. I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness. Is that going to help me in my balancing act? To know that I've got God who's giving me the strength and the help and holding me up with his right hand. That's going to help me to learn how to balance those things in my life. I need to remember the spiritual blessings that I have. That we had that several times on the other on the list that we made. We need to be more aware of what we have, all spiritual blessings in Christ. But I dare say if I were to ask you to list them right now, we'd probably only come up with four or five. Six. All right. With Joe here, we'd come up with six. We need to be more aware of the spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. Seriously, go home and make a list. Keep the list in your Bible. When you get discouraged, open it up. Say, these things belong to me, not because I'm a human, not because I'm good looking, not because I got a whatever on my AC. These things belong to me because I'm a child of God. They don't belong to anybody else. They don't belong to the average Joe Schmo out on the street. They belong to me because I'm a child of God. If I'll remember to do that, that's going to help me to be more thankful. I need to remember who my Father is. I need to remember who my Savior is. Do you suppose that remembering what Jesus did for us on the cross will help us to be more thankful? There are a multitude of reasons, I suspect, that God commanded us to observe the Lord's Supper every first day of the week. There are several reasons that could be given for God commanding us to observe the death of Jesus on our behalf, His body hanging on the cross, His blood being shed. But one of them surely is so that we will grow to be more thankful. When you partake of the Lord's Supper, is there a heart of gratitude? There's a heart of unworthiness. There's a heart of, I don't deserve this. There's a heart of, He went through that for me. But there needs to be a heart of gratitude. A heart of thankfulness for what He endured for us. I think we had this on our list. In order to help me to learn to be more thankful, I need to remember the place that He has prepared for me. That I have a home in heaven prepared for me. Dan said this one, I need to remember the church. And to remember that the church is not a building. I can learn to be thankful when I learn that I have brothers and sisters in Christ. Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. Do you feel that way about the church? That you thank God every time you think about your brothers and sisters in Christ. We need to remember, as we try to be thankful, we need to remember to live in today. Meaning, don't borrow trouble from tomorrow. Jesus said, sufficient for the day is the evil thereof. Sometimes we start borrowing trouble for tomorrow, trying to pay off the trouble we had yesterday, and we're not even looking at what's going on today. We need to live in today, be concerned about what's happening today. Let God take care of tomorrow if we even have a tomorrow. We need to remember it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I think Dan mentioned this one too. If we want to learn to be more thankful, we need to take the focus off of us. We need to take the focus on what am I getting and put the focus more on what can I give.
Amen.
How can I serve? How can I help? Who can I find in the church who I can encourage today? Who can I find in the church today who I can build up, who I can consider and stir up their love and their good works? Guarantee if we'll take our eyes off of what I want and turn our eyes to what to our brethren and their needs, it'll help us to be more thankful. You know, every time you talk to someone, or every time you go and visit somebody who's in the hospital, every time you go and visit somebody who's having a hard time, you start to realize, yep, I've got problems, they've got problems, but you know, we've got some real blessings in Christ. Sherrick? Oh, yes. Sherrick, good point that it's not all about money. Sometimes we think, you know, every time we hear the word give, we think, oh, great, he's talking about the pocketbook. And we're not talking about money. We're talking about our efforts and our time and our attention. You know, our attention is so divided today that if you give undivided attention to anything, that's unusual. You know, many of us are multitasking. Why did Bill Gates create Windows? So that you could do more than one thing on the computer at the same time. Otherwise, we don't need Windows. You know, just one thing at a time. But Windows allows you to have all sorts of windows, right? Do all sorts of things. Dirk? We just need to be still. What is that? Psalm 46 and verse 10 or verse 8. Be still and know that I am God. Slow down enough to see God in our lives. And we had this on our list. We need to remember the privilege of prayer. Remember, here's a short verse. Verse 17, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 17, in case you can't see it. Pray without ceasing. And then verse 18, we've already seen it. How does verse 18 start? Verse 17 says, pray without ceasing. Verse 18 says, in everything give thanks. And if I'll put those two together, if I'll be more prayerful, I can learn to be more thankful. If I'll make that a part of my prayers. So much more I wanted to talk about, but I hope that helps us to think about why we need to be thankful, think about ways we can learn to be thankful, and to take these things and to create in ourselves an attitude of gratitude. Everything we've talked about tonight has been about our thankfulness to God. And that needs to be first and foremost in our minds. But if we'll learn to be more thankful to God, how will that help us in our relationships with each other? To learn to be more gracious, show more gratitude for one another.